Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research.
Hi, Nathan. Hello, hello.
Ming Tong, how are you?
I'm good. Pretty good here. Thank you. How are you there?
Oh, I'm amazing. Yeah, it's good to see you. It's been too long.
Yeah, I know. Times like this goes by.
Yeah. I think it's probably been a couple years since I was back in Santa Fe. Last time I saw you, we went to the rock climbing gym with the kids.
Right, that's true, with the family. But we did see in the cancer summit, the conference in Florida.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's how you last year. Yeah. You came to the conference in Jacksonville. That's right. Yeah.
How you been? Been good. Yeah. Now, winter is a bit slower, but a lot of other things happening as always. Yeah. So what's the biggest change for you? Probably.
Biggest change for me. I think, a really big change for me has been, I ended up really overdoing it with my training. I was training to become a professional CrossFit athlete and, training 3, 4,
right,
5, 6 hours a day sometimes. And I ended up tearing up my shoulders pretty bad. And what it did was it made me, basically stop all that and really, really go inside and spend a lot more time meditating and doing spiritual practice. And in doing that, it just kind of started to transition my entire focus right now. So I basically dropped the, I was working towards being a professional athlete for 6.5, almost 7 years. And I got pretty close. I got really close. And then, God, spirit, my soul was like, all right, this is all the further you need to go with this. It's time to transition to the next thing. So that was kind of hard for me to accept for a little while, for a few weeks. And then I just really started spending a lot more time, meditating and doing spiritual practice and realizing, okay, this is my time to go deeper within and to really, really grow even more spiritually, spend more time with family. I'm coaching my daughter's 8th grade basketball team. So, if I was training like I was, I wouldn't have said yes to being able to coach her team. I wouldn't have as much time with the kids that I do. We spend more time with our spiritual practices together as a family, going to like Unity church on the weekends, just more time like that with the family and doing, more, I'd say, good quality things together. So that's one of those things, right, where your pain and your suffering and the challenges you go through, which you think are one door closing, it was like, well, no, it's time for this next door, this next chapter to open. And I'm just focusing fully on that right
now. Yeah. Well, you do feel very different.
it might be the beard.
Right.
It might be the
including
beard.
Your parents for the whole thing, whole parents. So your change always happened, in all these levels. Yeah, all these levels.
Yeah. So what's new? What's new with you? What's new with the Chi Center?
Yeah, not much a big change. And probably the biggest change is for the center is that we changed the name. So the new direction, new missions, it's been there for a while in my heart, my mind, but now we can openly talk about it. They clearly want to have this place as a home base for, all spiritual traditions and bring their community deepening their work, basically. Yeah. So more than just a rental, occasional events happening here. And I really want people to connect with the land, connect with the energy here, connecting with not only their own mission, but deepening because of this container. So that is kind of a big change. Now we also have a manager, Ty. She's can do a lot more than I can do myself, so that's happening. Yeah.
That's incredible. What is the so what's the new name of the center?
Called the Southwest Sanctuary.
Southwest Sanctuary. That's a good name for Santa Fe, New Mexico. By the way, for people don't know, this is Master Ming Tonggu, a world-renowned Qigong master teacher, somebody who I learned from firsthand for a few years living in Santa Fe, working with him at the Qi Center, learning Qigong. And he's a true master teacher who has been helping thousands and thousands of people to awaken their life force energy, their Qi energy, and have seen so many miracles. I had the fortune to do documentaries and create films on Ming Tong's students, people who came to the retreat center and practiced Qigong for 3, 4, 5, 6 days at a retreat, and then went home and continued practice and saw everything from Parkinson's disease being reversed to, cancers regressing to, people who have spinal fusions not being able to twist, like Tom, who can now he's surfing. I think he's in his 60s now, I'd imagine, 50s or 60s, and surfing with no pain, like all these incredible miracles because of, learning how to harness the energy, the chi within the body to create optimum physiological and mental, emotional, and spiritual function. And so, really excited to have you on the podcast, Ming Tong, and I'm excited to hear more about the changes to the center and the focus that you're focusing on. Because that the center there, I haven't been for a couple of years, but it is one of the most magical, beautiful, uplifting places I've ever been. And I have to say, I was able to do one of your week-long retreats there a few years back, and it was probably by the third day, and I just felt like a whole brand new person, like so uplifted and so invigorated and so spiritually charged and, just like floating. That's how I can describe it, just floating in joy. And basically it's a combination of, subtle Qigong movements and energy movement and sound healing, and then the talks that you give, the wisdom talks that you give are super powerful, and then the guided meditations. Is one of the most life-changing experiences. Anybody who's never been, I highly recommend it. But so that's cool. You're opening up to more spiritual traditions, different teachers and leaders to come in and host their own retreats there. Is that what you're doing?
So, Nathan, I didn't realize we are alive already.
Yeah, we're live. We're
That's
rocking
great. I love
rolling.
that informal being the moment process. I love it. So basically, the whole place is existing into generating the experience you're sharing. So that's kind of become my new job besides being a teacher,
Wow.
teaching people and to discover the wisdom, the power, the energy, the medicine within them already. And but on the other hand, it's also holding the space for other teachers, leaders, and traditions, community to do their work. Because from my experience of living on this land, even not very long, 8 years, it has been extraordinary gift discovering the medicine is here with the earth. And without connecting with the nature, the Mother Earth, it's really difficult to reconnect, what's inside of us. So these two aspects is inseparable, connecting what's inside of us already and connecting with nature beyond, the everyday life, the circumstance, the conditioning, especially the busyness of the mind, the story, the label, the challenge we all facing is mostly, externally kind of entangled. But when we come in internally, discover the deeper truth inside of us, and that is so essential, so important, but often takes a condition, takes a container. So being the nature, connecting with the nature, with that connection, make it as much more durable, much more effective, much more profoundly meaningful. So I feel my experience living here, being the nature in everyday basis, you know, personally, I'm an artist. I get so much inspiration is from the beauty, the simple presence of nature, the tree, the running water, the fountains, the rocks and the gardens, and the change of the weather, the change of the cloud, the sky, the sunset, sunrise, and you know, the Milky Way, and everything is really helped me to discover the source of healing is all here. It's from nature. The source of life is nature. The source of inspiration is nature. So every day whenever feel, you know, a little bit of lost here, there, and stressed here, there, overwhelmed here, there, I just need to remember going to the nature, reconnecting with the source of life again. So that's just super, super important. And so thank you for showing the video. I think you're showing the video. Yes.
Yeah, for those who are watching, I'm just showing some little videos, some clips of the center, just so you can see how it is so beautiful. What I remember, you know, because I lived in Santa Fe for what, almost 7 years, and I was with you there at the center probably more than 4 years maybe. I remember every time I would drive into the center. It was like the moment you enter the land, you can feel anyone I think who's at all sensitive to energy, you can feel when you enter that land because of the container, the spiritual love and compassion and wisdom and upliftment that you've created there, and all the people who've come, the community that has created there, you can feel it every time you enter the land. It's like, ah, it's like you take a big deep breath, you know? And so what you're talking about, I mean, nature by itself, yes, right? We connect with the source of life. We connect with God, with spirit, with the divine, just going into nature anywhere. But then when you go to a place like, you know, a retreat center like yours, where it is a special container within nature with intention, like I feel it even more. And I've heard, I'm sure you've heard from many, many people, but I heard from a number of people there when they enter the land, they feel the same thing.
Yeah, that is so true. I think it's to do with cultivation. So it's like you know, in our wisdom healing Qigong tradition, boil down to it is about connecting with energy, but consciously cultivating the energy. So it's like we call organizing a chi field. So this is the energy field intentionally cultivated, but also with certain level of not just purpose, but a commitment. It's ongoing basis. So when I share the mission with you about, you know, the ongoing cultivation of connection with energy. So it's not just kind of for events, for, you know, temporary experience, which is still beneficial. But when we're making a long-term connection, and you know, that's another deeper experience by living here because the land is permanent. You know, we are impermanent. Even the nature is changing, but the presence of the earth is permanent, much more permanent than our body, than our life, than whatever we're going through of circumstances. Even our vision is impermanent too, but the direction and the high purpose as well, the presence of the earth is permanent. So when we're connecting with that, then our commitment become much more, you know, consistent, ongoing, long term. So that is really give me another connection, you know, I didn't feel until I have, you know, lived here for so long. So including my vision of, you know, healing, transformation, and awakening for myself, you know, being together in the community. And for the other, you know, sentient beings. And it's like you live with everyday life, something, you know, easily get distracted. And but when you're connecting with Earth, have the sense of permanency, sense of timelessness, sense of ongoing to generation to generation to come. And suddenly, everything I do carries a deeper meaning. Even the progress, maybe the change happening is small at a time. Even, we all facing these challenge of impermanency, challenge of circumstances. But when you look at the big picture, this land can hold in the energy we're generating for generation to come. And that is like, wow. Suddenly this is one aspect. But on the other hand, it's like the land is here, is supporting what we do. On one hand, without land, I cannot do the way the work I'm doing, the way it happens right now, hosting people and sharing the magic, sharing the container. And but on the other hand, it's like carry everything we're generating, connecting, cultivating, ongoing basis, accumulatively for many generations to come. So that's it basically is that not just the idea, the experience as you shared is the home, the feeling of a home. So this chi field has a home now. So naturally people can feel it. Then they're arriving here, the body start to relax, the heart start to open, the mind feel more spacious, more clear, more calm. And when experienced people have shares like, I can feel myself, being myself by being here without doing anything. So,
Well,
and then
that's why
you,
in Go ahead.
so the connection, I think, is the key. The connection with the energy of the earth, but also the connection with ourselves. That's what we practice, connecting with the body energy, the energy of the heart, the energy of the mind, the essence of who we are, the wholeness, the oneness existing in this energy system of the body already. But that connection is inseparable from the energy of the earth, the energy of the universe. But also another connection is the energy connection with each other as a community, as a human being. We are a species of collective. We cannot live the way as we are by just, isolating ourselves. We feel incomplete, feel unfulfilled when we feel isolated. So this connection of community is so important. So then this home is like holding the space for all the connection to happen. And it's a sense of completion as human being in all these level of connection. And that is so important. We don't feel that completion, even at home, immediate home. Yeah, the home is comfortable. The home is the base, we come back to, be ourselves. But there's still piece missing. It's like nature, community, for example, and the energy purpose as human being coexisting on the planet Earth. So that is another kind of home base. The retreat center, this spiritual home base cannot be replaced by immediate home or family, immediate home we feel comfortable. And that's this exciting discovery for me. I think that time to time we feel that longing, and then sometimes we don't know how to name that, feel something is missing. And so when we come to a place like this, the Southwest Sanctuary, we feel it. Oh, feel that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm experiencing now. So essential, whether we go to a church or go to another places, we're recognizing that need. So that's kind of my new job I'm sharing with
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. That's a big
you.
change for you. That's a really big change because you've mostly done your own retreats there with a couple of kind of, other outside, or you've usually partnered with others, but it's usually been your own. So to kind of open it up, I think that's a really smart thing that you're doing. I think it's going to be very wonderful and very successful. And, on that idea of like creating a sacred space, every major spiritual and religious tradition on the planet has always done this, right? Whether it's building a temple, the Jews building temples to honor God, in the time of Moses in the Old Testament, or Christianity building churches, or Catholics building churches to create these sacred sanctuaries to honor God, whether it's the Taoist teachers or the Buddhists, there's always having a sacred space, a meditation hall, and that's in Raja Yoga, for example. Swami Vivekananda talks about, creating a sacred space in your home, whether it's a closet, a tiny room, whatever, but that is your meditation space, that's your yoga space, that's your pranayama space, that's the space where you go. And in there, you never have any, you be very mindful never to have any bad thoughts in there, to have arguments with somebody. It's always sacred. You're burning incense, you're setting an intention, you're doing your prayer, your meditations, your qigong, your whatever you're doing. But that space, you create this sacred environment. And when you go into a space like that that has been created, whether it's a small space in your home or it's a beautiful, retreat center or sanctuary, my experience is it's the intention, it's the love, it's the energy that we create in that space that leaves that vibration there, right? Because we are vibrational beings. Every aspect of us is energy vibrating at a frequency, and when we go into a space that is set for that sacredness, the more we're in tune with that energy, the more we can feel it and experience it. And so, I'm actually we've been in the process of converting our dining room, because we only use it once or twice a year for like holiday family get-togethers. And so, like, I've been in the process of like converting it into just like a meditation and practice room, but because we just do it in the living, we do our meditations and breath work and stuff in the living room right now. And I go in the living room and I can feel it's like this mixture of energy. Like, my son watches his iPad in there sometimes, or we'll watch a movie sometimes. I do my meditation there every morning, right? It's like this mixture of sometimes there might be an argument in there, there might not be, you never know. But having this totally separate room just dedicated to that, I think will be wonderful. But I put like our dining table and chairs and everything up for sale, and for like 4 or 5 months, nobody's buying it at all anywhere, like Craigslist, Facebook, nothing. And then now it's almost, it's Thanksgiving, and we're getting the family together. So I'm like, okay, we're supposed to have family together in this room, because it's the only space here in Florida where we can really do it together. And I'm like, all right, it's not time to turn that into the meditation room yet. It's this family get together for the holidays is a little more important right now. So even if you don't have a sacred space you can create in your own home, it's like I said, I do our practice in the living room, right? But setting that energy in that container, the more sensitive you become, the more you can feel it. It's really powerful.
Yeah, again, takes commitment, takes the ongoing commitment. I think that is the hardest part for most people, spiritually seeking, open, longing for something, better, deeper, more fulfilling. And the commitment is the hardest part, but without a practice, you cannot really creating a space neither. So that's all these different pieces kind of interconnected. Yeah. On one hand, you're creating space, yeah, to support your practice. But without a practice, yeah, the space doesn't really help you.
Right.
We have all kind of space,
Yeah. Yeah, the space doesn't matter if you don't have a practice.
Right, exactly. So these two pieces, like you have to complete it, a space and the practice. Yeah. And so then different kind of space also needed. As you said, difficult to create a space at home. It's essential. We need that at home. But also we need to go to a church, go to a monastery. Well, there's reason for that. If
Right.
it's easy to do just creating a church at home, I think life will be very different by most of us. Maybe temporary space, can we hide, we do practice, but still we need to go somewhere to connect with the community and have a space dedicating to that purpose. Even, in my work, I feel like I need to leave my home to go to even a coffee shop to
Right.
create Airbnb, creating space with less distraction so I can be more productive. Yeah. And
Right.
same way, if I need to do a very deep retreat, I cannot expect myself being home. I can do kind of casual practice, very beneficial still. But if I want to go to a deeper retreat, I need to go somewhere else. In a sense, I have to create a retreat for my students coming together, like as you shared in the Chi Center as the old name, now South Sanctuary, Southwest Sanctuary. In order to do that, to create the like 10 days, even 30 days of retreat space, make that dedication to generating the deep experience.
Yeah.
So all that is part of life. Yes, you can do that to home as essential, as consistent as you can, but going to make a big step, deeper experience, in a sense, it's almost required another level of dedication, commitment by going to a retreat center and longer retreat makes this possible.
It's true.
So
We're
yeah,
going to, Luz and I are going
same
to
thing. Yes.
a silent retreat over Christmas.
Right.
It's like an eight day retreat up at the Art of Living Center in North Carolina. And so it's like, I have my daily practice, but then going and doing, a week long experience where you can really go
Yeah.
deep. Like you can make so much, more growth, awareness, consciousness, health, healing, all these things can happen. I've found at a much higher rate and more powerful and deeper and faster, right? When you really go to a place to dive in. I wanted to shift the conversation a little bit though, because there's
Sure.
I don't know if I've ever heard you talk. I want to ask you about God, and I don't know if I've ever heard you talk about God, or maybe you haven't, I don't remember. And I'm curious, what is from Wisdom Healing Qigong's viewpoint, from your viewpoint, what is your belief or philosophy around God?
With the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljanski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljanski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljanski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. One of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital
life. And you can use our discount code Panacea15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
That's a tough question.
Hey, we'll make it, we gotta make it interesting, right?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, how would I put it? I don't think of myself as religious. Yeah. And so I'm more like open to all tradition, all religion tradition, spiritual traditions, all point of view. I'm kind of more like open, inclusive kind of person. Yeah, curious. And so, but the idea of God is, you know, from a different, you know, religion. It has a different connotation. I think it's more to do with what is our own personal interpretation. Even when using whatever words might be, God, universe, creator, presence, yeah, high, you know, realm, whatever, yeah. So what is your interpretation of it? I think that is affecting your own, you know, meaning of life, your own choice, your own experience of life, yeah. So the idea, you know, in Wisdom Healing Qigong is really about continuously open to beyond, yeah, our identity, your own identity, who we are, beyond our story of who we are, beyond the immediate experience of life. Yeah. So this is it's a process, continue. Discovery is like discovering what God means for you. Yeah. So anything. Yeah. In Qigong, what we do is basically about, you know, acknowledging everything as energy, existence of energy. The physical is physicalized energy, but beyond the physical, there's non-physical. Beyond visible, there's invisible. Yeah. Beyond, you know, what we see, there's unknown. Yeah. So we opening to that presence. And some of us call this presence as God, some of us as creator, as we call this basic, it doesn't matter what you call. Yeah. So you're open to that. But then you're realizing, oh, you're part of them. And you're realizing, okay, in your own life, you know, we can only understand the universe to the degree of we understanding ourselves. We can understand the life in general to the degree we understand our own life. Okay. So it's not about belief system, what should be, shouldn't be, what's supposed to be, what not supposed to be. But you can discover slow living a life. Yeah. Slow understanding a life the way you are living. Yeah. So, you know, in a sense, in our personal life, you know, we have two aspects. Yeah. One is the limitation we're experiencing everyday life, whether health, physical, relationship, money, yeah, even connection we're speaking of. Yeah. We feel limited to a certain degree. Yeah. Even life, you know, we live that long, whatever span of life, this is the limitation, you know, we're all going to get old, we're all going to die, and you know, all these limitations. But on the other hand, yeah, we can also discover, you know, the pure energy is unlimited. Yeah, is unlimited. So that essence, when we discover this essence of who we are is unlimited, then you're realizing, oh, the essence of the universe. We're part of this essence of the universe. It's unlimited. So this is the ongoing process, ongoing journey. Yeah. And so these two aspects, the physical, non-physical, the limited, the unlimited, the personal and the collective, learn to dance with all that. That is my process of continuous discovery. Yeah, what is God? It's not like who is God. It's more like what is God? So what that means, I'm part of the universe. The universe is within me already. So slightly different take than religious concept. Become a process, become a journey, become a living experience. Yeah. So let's focus on a faith or belief system and more focus on the discovery, the deeper meaning. So that's kind of a my experience I can share. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I mean, it's exactly an alignment, almost exactly the same as the Vedanta, right? And the yogic understanding and experience and teachings of God, the Hindu philosophy, but really the aspect of the Vedanta from India and the yogic philosophy, which is, as they call it, the infinite absolute. It's, God is that creative, infinite absolute that is all encompassing in all beings, and that is within us and without us. We are part of that, and that is part of us, right? It is that recognizing that we are infinite and unlimited, and just as the Bible talks, as Jesus talks about, sons of God, created by God, made in the image of God, right? If you're made in the image
Exactly.
of God, then you are a
Yeah.
reflection of God. You are not some pawn that God pushes around to, cause you suffering or pain or joy or whatever, but in fact we are made in the image of God. If we follow Jesus's teachings directly from the Bible, it's very interesting, because I've been studying that a lot lately, as I've been studying the yogic and the Vedanta philosophy a lot lately, and then the Qigong philosophy, as you teach, it's all basically exactly the same. It's saying exactly the same thing. It's just people often misinterpret it, right? And then use it for self-control, power, greed, all these kinds of things that the ego takes over and goes, ah, okay, this is, I'm going to use this for more greed, more power, more control. Even subconsciously that happens. It might not even be out of evil intent, but just out of like a sense of, I'm limited, I'm my body, I have a limited life, so I better get as much as I can, as quick as I can, right? Versus recognizing, no, I'm infinite. My soul is infinite. This body dies, but this soul never dies. And in that case, well, then what am I really here for? What is my purpose here on the planet? Is it to acquire as much as I possibly can? There's no happiness in that, right? Those of us who acquire, realize, oh, there's no real happiness there. There's no real joy there. The joy comes in realizing, oh, I am infinite, and I have the ability to help others, to serve others, to bring kindness and love to others. And that starts to bring real joy into our lives. But I love your explanation. And it's, like I said, it's so much in alignment. Even in the Bible, Jesus talked about, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. And then later in Luke 17, 21, he says, but look not here nor there for the kingdom of God. He didn't say the kingdom of God is over there somewhere. He said, but behold, the kingdom of God is within you, right? And that's what you're saying, is going inside and discovering God, discovering, the divine, the absolute infinite, whatever we want to call it for ourselves. And that's what Qigong really allows you to do, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's it's a living experience. So that is a different from just like believe in something. Yes, belief can be powerful, but belief can lead us to a blind faith. Yeah, and also a lot of assumption. Even opposite to what Jesus, this enlightened being, told us. Yeah, it's like the when we come to is my belief instead of your belief, my God instead of your God, my truth instead of your truth, then the conflict comes, the ego comes, and all these, turmoil, had happened in the human history comes. So when we discover the living truth every day, then you just stay in that process of basically your own evolution and able to support each other. So there's a beautiful saying by Ram Dass is we're all walking each other home. The home, is within us, but we are together walking each other homes. So instead of say, hey, your home is not real than my home. My home is real here, but everybody's home is so real. But when you discover the deeper truth, then there's no argument needed. Basically, you're just living with it. You help each other discover their own truth. And that is such a beautiful thing, become, I think, now when we're facing the challenges, the conflict, the polarity, and that's become so meaningful, more important to recognize, come back to our own home, our own truth. So when we experiencing, health challenges, for example, it's like it's really it's expression of the fragmentation, expression of disconnection, expression of basically the unfulfilled part of us. So by rediscovering who we are, divine nature of who we are, the wholeness of who we are, the interconnectedness of life, no matter how challenging at the time can be, it's part of the lesson.
Did you just
Often I
say,
say,
did you? I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Did you just say health challenges are the unexpressed aspect of who we truly are?
it's the expression of the disconnection.
Express, so health challenges are the expression of the disconnection, our disconnection from spirit, from
Who
source,
we
from
are,
God, from who
exactly.
we are. Yeah, that's so powerful.
Well, looking at what health means, disease simply means the energy part of us, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all inseparable. It's not functioning within the wholeness anymore, serving the wholeness of who we are anymore. That's disease, dis-ease, dysfunction. And no matter what the diagnosis might be, the complexity of diagnosis, the complexity of certain stances, symptoms, and so on, even complexity of causes, But energetically means is that part of us is not serving the wholeness of us. So that means we're not living in the wholeness totally. So we're missing the wholeness of who we are, the oneness of who we are, the essence of who we are. So the healing is really about rediscovering the wholeness, oneness, the essence, and living from that place. So the biggest step, the most important step is really inclusiveness. It's about, embracing every aspect of yourself. It's including when you tune your shoulder, whatever, hurt your shoulder. Now it's time to love your shoulder.
Exactly.
Before you're using the shoulder for whatever purpose, the goal you're trying to accomplish. But now you're living to be gentle with your shoulder, loving your shoulder, experiencing your shoulder in a new way. And then healing starts to happen. So when we connecting, the oneness, then every part of us, every part of this body, awakening to that oneness, then healing just naturally happen. All the function just start coming back to most optimal, most nature, most, just we call the natural intelligence in the wholeness is there already. But when you're suppressing part of you, disconnecting part of you, no matter what's the reason behind it, could it be external cause, could it be internal cause, could it be environmental cause. But we can choose to connect with the wholeness, oneness again. Then the energy coming back to its normal function. So that is the potential we're born with. always waiting for us to discover. So when we, you know, carry this whatever story, diagnosis, whatever problems, whatever, you know, victim mind, then we continuously, yeah, limiting us, continuously, yeah, separating also from this wholeness and oneness. So that's why the healing, the spiritual awakening is inseparable, totally inseparable. It's the same process.
Yeah.
Same process. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
but we're just doing it energetically, make it very tangible beyond just the, you know, mental concept or mental dogma, even particular belief system. It's like, hey, discovering what is true. When you're willing to discover, you can ultimately discover the experience of wholeness, oneness, essence. Yeah. That is the godliness within us. Yeah.
That's so powerful. And it's so true, especially in my case, like with my shoulders. At first it was like, okay, you know, why are you injured? I just stop being injured. I've got goals. I got things to do. I got, you know, places to go and competitions to compete at. And then, you know, as I sat back and really started, you know, meditating and asking, okay, why this, what's happening? You know, why is this happening? And then it just got more and more clear. It was like, yeah, you have not been loving your body in the way you've needed to. You've been using your body for these goals. And yeah, the goals were not totally selfish. I had these goals to utilize, you know, in a very positive way for my family, for my community, for the world. There were some selfish goals in there, just personal achievement. And there were some selfless goals in there, helping others as well. But it didn't matter. I wasn't listening to my body, right? And
I was
pushing through the pain, and I was training through the pain, and just wanting, saying, look, it doesn't matter. It's kind of the David Goggins mentality, which is, you know, I want to warn, you know, a lot of young people out there today, like the David Goggins mentality, it's painful. It's suffering. The reality is, you know, we're going to damage our body again and again and again and not listen to our body. And get what out of it? You're not going to get any bliss or ecstasy or long-term joy out of that, out of just destroying your body, right? It's like, yes, my body's telling me, no, it's time to relax, to love your body more, love your shoulders, take care of your body. So I've been doing more things, more meditating, more pranayama, more Pilates and yoga and all different kinds of things. You know, short Qigong practices here and there, just spending more time doing things that are better for my body, right? And so, but that's true with cancer patients we work with. It's true with any disease where it's like, this is showing up because we're disconnected from God, from our soul, as you say, from the oneness of who we truly are. And by then bringing that love and bringing the energy, right, really directing, that's what I love about Qigong, is you are intentionally and physically directing that chi, or in yoga or in India they call prana, right? It's the same thing, life force energy. You're directing that life force energy to your body to help release those blockages and help your body to heal, but at the same time really helping the mind and emotions heal as well, because otherwise we just repeat the same process over and over, which is what I've done over the years. And I'm like, okay, no more of that.
So yeah, you have learned so many lessons, you know, spiritually, very, you know, evolved slow, you know, by moving slow these challenges. But there's always more, you know, lessons we can learn. Even just tune up your shoulder, give you opportunity to learn self-love, self-care in a new way. So it's like, it's not so much of what do you do, and not necessarily this goal is bad. It's a good goal. And, you know, it doesn't mean competition is bad neither, but it's really about, it's like, boil down to it, as you share, it's doing it in a way from a place of love. Place of love have to be including loving your body. it's not just like push your body to the limit to what it can accomplish, but you have to listen in to your body, working with the limit of the body. You still say, hey, I want to push beyond the limit. Then you end up hurting yourself. So
that was my mindset most of my life. Push beyond the limit, right?
Right.
Like, okay, maybe I need to figure out a different approach.
Yeah. So including embracing the limit and then open to the unlimited potential. Dancing with these two takes wisdom. And not necessarily that was a mistake. You know, even injured yourself may not be a mistake, but help you to learn what is your limit, help you learn how to pay attention when even you're pushing the limit, you know, how to listen into the body, feel the energy, and continuously asking ourselves, you know, what's the deeper purpose, you know, of what are we doing? You know, ultimately, yeah, we want to experience love, experience joy, experience connection. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, we go in the wrong way looking for that, you know, including certain, you know, competition, including certain accomplishment, including certain influence, impact, all that. But deeply, you know, I have to also ask myself, you know, this is really truly fulfilling? Isn't it really worth doing it? You know, the times like, oh my God, I go slow, the dark night of the soul. It's like, why I'm working so hard? And if I want to be, you know, be fulfilling, deeply, you know, experience joy and peace, do I want to, you know, lost in that kind of effort, right? So it's a fascinating process. You know, it's not like you have an answer, you know, have the listen, then you learn perfectly fine for the rest of your life, everything will be smooth, right?
Yeah, it's an ongoing, it's kind of like one of these things, right? It's like up and
yeah,
down and up and down.
Exactly.
And the goal is to keep going up, though, you know, in the good direction.
So, yeah, the goal is the paradox. You're going up, but also you're letting go.
Right.
It's like you're dropping, engaging with what you feel meaningful, purposeful, fulfilling as much as possible. By the times you also learn to drop. Yeah, drop like letting go of the outcome, letting go of the control, letting go of even wishful thinking, letting go of whatever, you know, certain ego expectation, even wishful thinking. We have so much wishful thinking. What should it be? This idea of what should it be, continuously creating this prison that we're living in. So at a time say, yeah, okay, that's the right thing to do. This is the next step to do. I'm going to push the limit to a certain degree and you engage whatever way you can. But also the times realizing, oh, it's time to letting go of that idea. Then see what's the next step can open up more spiritually, including, you know, embracing the limitation.
You know, and that's actually, it's so true and so freeing and so powerful, but doing that sometimes is so difficult, right? And
just not easy.
Just going back to my own example, it was like,
yeah,
I had
yeah.
this dream since day one. I started CrossFit. I still remember it was September 2017. And it was like, I'm going to be a professional athlete. And I hadn't been an athlete for 10, 12, 15 years up to that point, right? I'm like, I'm going to be an athlete, professional athlete in 1 year. It's like 1 year, like I'm not even close. I'm like, all right, in 2 years, 2 years, I'm not even close. I'm like, 3 years, still not even close. I'm like, all right, eventually I'll be there, but I'm doing this no matter what. Like it was no matter what happens, I had setbacks, I had injuries, multiple times all leading up. And it was like, I'm doing this. I had this vision, this goal, like I'm so set on it no matter what. Wake up every morning, I do an ice bath, I train for 2 hours, I eat, I rest, then in the evening I train another 2 or 3 hours, I do recovery, like all in, right? Like on this goal. And I think people can relate to this. You might be all in on this vision or this dream or this goal or this desire, and then eventually something shifts where it's like, you know, the universe, my soul, God is telling me, waking me up, like, okay, this is what you needed to do until now. This was good. Like, I don't have any regrets. There was no mistakes. Like,
totally.
It was perfect. I needed to go through all that, and it actually helped me in a lot of ways, right? But now it's time to drop it. And dropping that all that desire and all that, it's like, that can be so, and it was difficult for me. It was difficult to come to that realization and then finally to just drop it. But when I did drop it, that's where I felt, I started feeling so free, right? That's
yeah,
where that liberation comes, where it's like, ah, that weight off my shoulders. Okay, this is what I need. This is what I need to do now. It's like, this is the next chapter. And I think dropping it and then accepting and figuring out what is that next chapter, that's how we move forward in a good way.
Totally. Yeah, totally. It's amazing. You know, this paradox is kind of continuing, you know, it's like in the Buddhist tradition, the ultimate liberation come from letting go of attachment, any attachment. But in life, we cannot live life without attachment. So it's more a process of having attachment and for hopefully for good reason. Then you have to letting go of attachment. So have this capacity, the capacity both able to attach for good reason, but also letting go of attachment for good reason too. So this process, attaching, detaching, attaching, detaching. But this movement, so this coming to this movement, continuing. So I think it's when you letting go of something, it's not like, oh, it's bad, so you're letting go. It's more like allow you, you know, when we're facing the challenge, it's a great opportunity to asking the deeper question. What are you looking for? What are you truly looking for? What is most important thing in your life? Yeah. When you're asking these questions again and again, they're realizing, oh, that may be not only way to realize what you realize, want to realize. Even this is become in the way, become an obstacle from truly, you know, realizing what you're looking for. Then you're not forcing yourself, say, I'm going to drop this attachment. Then you're realizing, oh, this different way, yeah, more gentle, more loving, more spiritual way of fulfilling your desire. And, or could it be, you know, other way around? I'm too spiritual, too new age, whatever, you know, like, oh, whatever is good. I'm not ambitious anymore. I'm not doing anything anymore. Then you have to drop that, you know, be more ambitious to engage life more actively. To help other people, to contribute certain ways, you know, do certain practice, be more disciplined, whatever, you know. So it's like this dance back and forth. You know, it's like this pendulum, another way looking at it, yin yang. When you go too extreme, yeah, this time to realizing bouncing back again. So the extreme, they're not necessarily bad. It's a reminder of movement to different direction. Back and forth. But this movement is less about good and bad, right, wrong. It's the movement itself. Bring experience of life. You feel alive. You feel the change. You feel the creativity. You feel, you know, openness. You feel the sense of freedom from this movement happening. So that is kind of a different approach than just a concept of right, wrong from a dogma, you know, oh, you didn't do this right, you know, you should be that way. It's more this movement, allowed to move. That's why I think the Qigong practice is so important. You know, any practice you're doing, when you're engaging energetically, you're realizing the energy, realize its purpose, slow movement. When a speaker movement is not necessarily just physical bodily movement. I'm speaking of, you know, the sound practice generating movement. And the mind practice also generating the movement. The moment you're visualizing the energy, you know, the mind visualizing the space in front of you, ocean of energy, ocean of light, you know, behind you, and you know, beneath you, above you, you're generating this mental energy movement, expansiveness, openness, connectiveness. Yeah. So allow that movement to happen. I think that is something we're really missing, especially people experiencing stuckness in life. Yeah. It's like physical health, physical, you know, illness is a stuckness. Emotional, you know, relationship, we're experiencing a lot of stuckness. Even, you know, our mental story of life, circumstances happening, it feels stuck in general. How to get out of that stuckness? The simple push is movement. Just move your energy. Move your energy. You know, I learned so much from my dog, Mocha. And you just see her so free when she runs. And like my whole body want to run after with her, you know, chasing her. That playfulness is like brings so much freedom. But that doesn't mean only just physical movement. It's an energetic movement. It's that allow your mind to open to the energy, allow your heart open to the sense of life, allow your physical body to move as much as possible. So this movement of energy, I think, is the key to fulfill everything we're looking for. Wholeness, oneness, freedom, love, joy, you know, healing and awakening. Yeah, it's so important, so important.
You know, just hearing you talk about that and watching your dog run and want to run like your dog and, you know, and play and be joyful and move that way, it's reminding me of again, a yogic, I keep bringing up the yogic tradition because I've been really deeply studying it, you know, for the
Beautiful.
last 6 or 7 months, like going deep into it now. And so I have all these references where like there's a concept that I'm meditating on and it's starting to become, you know, a little bit more tangible for me each day. And as you talk about this, it makes it a little more tangible for me where this whole life is actually a play, right? This is God's play. And this is a concept where it's like if we start looking at this our entire life and this whole world and this universe as one big play, then we don't have to take it so seriously, right? It's like we take life so seriously. The work we do, we have to work 9 to 5 and pay the bills and take care of the kids and do all this. And it's like all this seriousness leads to stress, depression, anxiety, fighting, anger, upset, you know, all that for most people's life. That's what they're experiencing most of the time. And I've certainly gone through my fair share of that. But then it's like if we have a shift in how we look at the world and our life and go, no, this is one big play. You know, it's like it's a dance. And we can create this in a way that's joyful and meaningful and loving, you know, or in a way that's very depressive and angry and sad and without joy. And we start playing with that concept. It's like, oh yeah, I don't have to take everything so seriously. You know, I don't have to care so much about what people think about me or what I look or what I say or whatever. I don't have to worry so much about these kinds of things. I can really deepen my spiritual practice and connection and still have my responsibilities. I'm a father, I'm a parent, I run a business. You know, it's like I still take care of people and do these things. I'm not dropping the responsibilities. It's just I'm not taking those things so seriously anymore and kind of
Yeah.
giving it up to God and giving up to the universe and source to the divine and saying, you know, guide me in what you want me to do. Let me drop my ego and you guide me in what is best for all. And that might be, hey, let's just go outside and dance and run and play today, you know? It's like, and I'm finding that more and more joyful coming into my life each day. And you live that way every day. I mean, I've known you for years and I've seen you firsthand, and it's like, you know, you live in that joyful childlike state, you know, majority of the time, which is, you know, a testament to your own connection to that truth, to that reality.
Yeah, not always. You know, it's also choice. Probably, you know, most of the time, When I choose to be joyful, playful, creative, nowadays I can easily do it. But there are times, yes, circumstance, we can be get lost, entangled, stressed, overwhelmed. That's still part of reality, part of life. So I'm also learning to be in peace with them. As I said, the two aspects of life, of who we are, is inseparable, the limitation and the unlimited nature of who we are. So embracing both is so important. The whole spectrum of human experience, the sadness, the pain, the stress, the overwhelmness, the confusion, all the fear, whatever, is part of life. But on the other hand, beyond that, our nature is not determined by this temporary experience. So how to, embracing both. I think that is the lesson I'm learning. I think that's a lesson we're continuously learning. And life continuously give us plenty of opportunity every day to learn them. So,
Every day,
but recognize,
literally every single day.
every day, every day. like today, my son's now going to school, and obviously, stressful and difficult. So what I do, in spite of whatever imperfection, I have to be peace with them. So that is not only just one day, but I have to, live one day at a time. So then I can find inspiration. Wow, if I go to the nature, like, oh my God, the sun is bright, the wind is beautiful, freshening. Oh, the sky is like, oh my God, so open. Then the tree and everything, if life is like calling, yeah, everything's fine, everything's okay. So, and life is continue just like reviewing, what is not only what is possible, but the nature of life as what it is. It's beyond our mind storing, beyond our assumption, even beyond our spiritual concept, what it should be or shouldn't be. And that's why, feel the nature is ultimate teacher for me personally.
Yeah, being a parent is a really unique spiritual opportunity to teach us, about ourselves and about patience and love and kindness and understanding. Plenty of times I've gotten, angry and upset and impatient, and then I act that way, and I'm like, okay, why'd I act that way? Okay, I don't want to act that way. I don't want to behave that way. Okay, what do I do to bring more love to the situation next time? I'm definitely, feeling my son, Osha, he's 9 years old now, and he's like,
Amazing.
he's very much like your son, where it's like he's got his own mind, his own, it's like he's his own person, right? It's like, I'm doing this whether you like it or not. And it's like, okay, here we go. This is a big challenge, and screaming and crying and fighting and kicking and punching doors and all this stuff. And I'm just like, my mom, I was talking to my mom the other day, and she, my mom, and she's like, I told her, I said, I remember when you wished, you cursed me. You wished for me to have a son like me one day. I was like, I definitely got, I'm getting a little bit of my karma. I mean, I treated my mom terrible. I was like, hopefully not as bad as I treated you. I'm so sorry for the way I treated you, but I'm definitely getting some of my karma now for sure. But
Honestly,
then there's the beautiful side of it too, though, right? It's like we had an amazing day together this weekend, and it was like, I was like, let's just go with the flow. He wants to do this and do that, and let's go here and do that, and let's just, have an amazing, and we had an amazing day. It's like, sometimes just let go of what I want, and let's just do what he wants to do, and then it's like, oh wow, we had a beautiful experience together,
Beautiful. Honestly, today I was thinking of, before our conversation, thinking of, oh my God, just knowing a little bit of your childhood story, the trouble, The stuff you have gone slow when you're young. Oh, imagine how your parents take on that. Like, oh my God, you must be a difficult child at the time. No question about from any parent's point of view. But not only you survive, become who you are right now, how your parents also able to survive by knowing them. I'm like, wow,
I don't know how my
okay,
mom survived. I have no idea how
it
my mom survived. Yeah, I barely survived. I'm surprised
looks
she survived. Holy cow. You know what? You know what
so,
I found out recently talking to her? That I never knew this until 6 months ago. She said, when I was at my worst and I was probably 17, deep in cocaine, meth, on the streets, alcohol, homeless, in and out of jail. Like she just, she had let me go. Like there was, well, she was still holding on, trying to do something, but she kicked me out when I was 15. I'd already been living on the streets for a couple of years. And she told me at that, there was a point there around that time when she finally, so talk about letting go, right? She finally let go. She said, "I just let go of you. I let you go to God. I said, God, please take care of him. I can't do this anymore." And then
I can
she found
relate
out.
exactly what she's saying.
And then a few months later, and then a few months later, she said, "And then I found out you were moving to San Diego, and I didn't mean for you to let him go that far away from Montana, San Diego, but she's like, but that's what I did." And I said, "Well, I said, thank you for doing that because that's exactly what needed to happen. I needed to move away from Montana. I needed to move to San Diego. I needed to start my life over." And it was perfect. That was exactly what I needed. But the fact that she was able to just let go and let me go to God, and then what happened after is incredible. Yeah.
But you wouldn't know, or she wouldn't know at the time, but what happened was incredible afterwards.
Yeah, it still took a number of years for things to turn
Right.
around, but
That's right. Life is life. Beyond anything we can imagine, anything we can control, anything we can truly, plan.
that's so true. So as we I know we're coming to the end of our time. You were working on a book a couple years ago. Is that out, or is that coming out anytime soon? Are you still working on that or no?
Yeah, it's like first draft is finished.
Oh wow.
Now next couple step. Right now I'm too busy to focus on that. I know it's going to take a lot of energy to put out there, but I'm hoping next year accomplish that.
Cool.
And before that book, being published, I'm also writing the second book. It's more like for internal students, practitioners, and experienced people. And then the first book was more like for public, just sharing my own story, my own experience, whatever insight, the reader can receive from that. And the second book is more about, the process of the spiritual practice and how can bring this to our life and everyday life, not only for health reasons, but also spiritual awakening purpose. So,
Beautiful.
and yeah, so, but also kind of scary, it's like very demanding doing these things. But also, I'm kind of exploring, how would I put it? It's like doing these retreats. So I can focus on this project more extensively. And that's something, I would recommend any, especially business owner, leaders and teachers. We need our own retreat for certain projects, certain purpose. And so that's also, I'm kind of excited providing because I personally, I need that. I'm doing it. So now I'm realizing I can use our sanctuary, Southwest Sanctuary, for that purpose, for the leader teacher come here to do their own retreat, whether spiritual retreat or work-related retreat or simply recharge themselves. And the winter time is also a great time to do that.
Beautiful. So when the book comes out, I'd love to bring you on the podcast. We can talk about it and let people know about it. So we should definitely plan that for next year. Let me know when that book's ready to come out. And
totally. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. And then, what's the website for people to get in touch with you, learn about the retreat center, I know you have online programs, you have a lot going on. So what's the best website for people to find you?
Yeah. Now we have two websites. One is the Chi Center website, Chi Center, CHICenter.com. That's including all our Qigong program, online, person, retreat, and so on. And then second website we just started is for the Southwest Sanctuary. So southwestsanctuary.org, and finding out what's happening here in Santa Fe. So yeah, I'm kind of holding the two pieces together. And so life is abundant. It's so full, always full. And, so another occasion we can check more, you know, how you're doing in terms of organization, business, and so on. We have a lot to share with each other and from each other as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ming Tong. It's been awesome having you on the podcast. Awesome to reconnect, and appreciate you so
much. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Love our conversation always. Thank you for doing that, Nathan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.